So let's talk about the relationship that Americans have with their money. First of all, when it comes to that relationship, are Americans on good terms with their money?
I would say that there's parts of the population that are, but a large part of the population, money has a tendency to, they like to spend it, but it scares them to save and invest it. So they might say they're saving and investing, but they really don't do enough of it because it has a tendency to scare them a little bit.
So let's say, I know that Edward Jones recently did a survey. Can you talk a little bit about the results of that survey and some of the things that people reported feeling about their financial situation?
I think, when you take a look at some of the things, they broke it out by ages. So if you look at millennials, surprising, they get the bad rap sometimes, but they actually 48% of them consider themselves savers, not spenders. Gen Xers 46% and baby boomers were 56% said they were savers. So it kind of debunks that myth that millennials aren't as financially focused. So that's one of the things that you're seeing. You're also seeing millennials reported having more emergency savings. So I see that with clients. It's fascinating meeting younger people. They are more aware of the savings process. I think part of it is they're walking into companies now with 401k plans and they're already thinking that through. And I think they're hearing just a little bit more of it.
So let's talk about that. You are an Edward Jones financial advisor in Pepper Pike, correct?
Correct. Yep.
And for those who aren't familiar, where is Pepper Pike on the map?
So we're on the east side of Cleveland. Right off Chagrin Boulevard. I've been in this office. I've been here with Edward Jones on my 25th year.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
You were talking about, a bit about your clients. What is the average age of client that you see in your office, or is there an average age?
There really isn't an average age. I will say there's a larger percentage that are older. Because kind of worked with them when they were younger, and now 25 years later, they're now walking into retirement. But I work with a lot of young people also. I think Edward Jones and what we believe in is that the goal of a financial advisor is to help people save. So the more we can spend time with young people teaching them to save money and put money away, the sooner they'll be able to retire, the sooner they'll be able to do more things. So I spend a lot of time with my clients' kids now, just sitting down and teaching them how to save $100 a month. I just did it with my daughter that went off for a job in New York City and said, you're going to put $100 a month away. So just in showing them how much that can grow to in a 10, 20, 30 year period. So it's, teaching them doesn't take a lot of money to make money. It's just a matter of being disciplined to do it.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that. I think there's this conception that in order to need the services of a financial advisor, you've got to have a lot of money. Do you find that to be true, that people with higher household incomes are the ones that are coming to see you more?
I think you do see that. I do a lot of retirement plans out of companies, so I love getting out there and talking to people that aren't being talked to. As this has transitioned, the world is going to, some of this do-it-yourself again type world. I find that if we aren't out talking to people when it comes to money, they won't save. They're going to say they're going to do it, but unless you pull them and hold them tight and say, hey, you have to do this, make them a little uncomfortable doing something, they aren't going to save money and keep putting away. We live in a spending world. For I don't know how many, last 20, 30 years, people talk about debt first as opposed to saving first.
Now, I know one of the things that causes some tension when people are thinking about their financial futures is short-term goals versus long-term goals. Can you talk about how that tension exists and maybe some examples of what you would consider a short-term versus a long-term goal?
Sure. So, again, it's important to have both of them. I think one of the big things I found out through the 2008 crisis, financial crisis, we were not hitting people's short-term goals as well as the long-term goals. Everything is talked about retirement, and we were all forgetting to talk about having short-term money, short-term goals of things that you want to achieve, as opposed to strictly looking at retirement money. So we're finding that, you know, the intentions people, they need to look at that short-term goal a little better and have more cash on hand so they have money to live. Because when they don't have that meeting the short-term goals, they just decide to borrow more money, and that just puts people into debt.
So you had mentioned earlier talking to your own daughter about some small steps towards savings. I'm going to ask you to give some free financial advice. What are some good small steps that folks can take to start saving better, working towards their financial goals? And then what are some maybe overhaul steps that folks might need to take to do the same thing?
Well, I think the most important thing is, you know, the old theory of pay yourself first. The important part is if you're starting out and you're younger, is automatically have money come directly out of your bank account into an investment account. Whether it's, I don't care the amount, $25, $50, $100, what it is to start, money will compound over time and it's going to grow. The toughest part for people is discipline. And when you see small amounts, and if I told you need a large amount for the long-term goal, you're going to say, ah, heck with it. I'm never going to get there. Well, it works. You just have to be disciplined because the numbers get bigger. So it's trying to get people to save it. If you're in a 401k plan or, you know, doing that, I'm just a believer in is if you're putting away 3%, then next year increase it by 1%. Most of this is all psychology that we do every day, is getting people to think differently. And also look at if you look at ways that you can save, and also look at where are you wasting money. It's very easy today. Everybody has, you know, all their little things that hit their credit card for $20 here, $30 here, $10 here. Well, that all adds up. And then they say they can't save. Well, here's a great way to look at it. Look at your budget and say, hey, I can find other ways to save money.
So if folks are interested in learning more about getting with a financial advisor, how do they reach out to somebody like you?
So the best way, you know, if you're looking, obviously, Edward Jones, we'd love to help anyone we can. There's local offices of Edward Jones just about in every town in this country. There's an Edward Jones advisor there. We have over 18,000 offices that are around the country. So you can look up, walk into an Edward Jones office. You can look us up through the internet or I don't think there's a phone book to look at anymore, but you can look at on the internet. You can pull us up and find a local office, stop in and say, I want to sit down and start saving money.
And if someone were coming in to meet with you for the first time, what sort of questions would you be asking them? What things would they need to bring with them, and answers would they need to bring with them?
Yeah, the first thing we want to do is sit down and go through and analyze and come up with what we call our financial foundation. We want to know where do you have money? Are you saving your retirement plans? We want to look through statements. Do you have life insurance? We want to look at your whole financial picture. And then we also want to look at where your debt is. You know, I think the fascinating part is today is everybody lives off of what's the payment. I always ask my clients, you know, when we're coming in, sit down with them, I want you to bring in the mortgage statement. Question I ask them is, what's your mortgage? And most people tell me the amount they pay monthly. My thought is I want them to put in is, how much did you actually borrow? So we talk in that part to come up with everything they have, bring in their statements. Let's look through it and come up with a great plan for them.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for taking some time to talk with me today and for helping folks get a little bit more enlightened about their financial situation.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me today.